sahana vavatu sahana bhunaktu sahaviryam karavavahai tejasvinavaditamastu mavidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, page 148. Oh, remarkable Lord, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Oh, remarkable Lord, it is hard to understand what quality you see in me that you are so merciful. Possessing sattva is not the cause of your mercy. What then to speak of a person possessing tamas? Because he's comparing himself that all these great personalities who are there, then they're all situated in sattva guna. And by prayers, and that they're offering, that's not satisfying the Lord. And he considers himself, he's born in a demoniac family, so therefore you're going to end up with the aspect of the tamas there. So then he's wondering why he's being favored when all these great personalities aren't being favored. Right?
Why Prahlad Maharaj considers that they are not favored?
Because it's the mode of goodness isn't enough to please the Lord. Like that. That's the point. The devas and sages' minds are completely immersed in sattvic dharma, jnana, and austerity. We are immersed in adharma, ajnana, and material enjoyment. And simply praising you is not a cause of your mercy, right? So they have what they call it, sattvic dharma, jnana, and mercy, and they are praising the Lord. Right? So that's not a cause of Krishna's mercy. They praised you with streams of words which were fresh, cool, sweet, and pure like water, and which were embellished with ornaments and literary suggestions. But they were not able to make you satisfied with them. You are satisfied with me, though. I am born in a family possessing great tamas. Right? Mm-hmm. So he's from the line Thomas the Great.
Thomas.
I don't know if they never used the word name Thomas, do they? It's never used. King.
No.
But they don't use Septic or Rogers.
That's a good sign. That's uncommon.
Yeah. See, the thing is when you're offering these prayers where they're talking about the glory of the Lord, so what are those? Right? Those glories. Mm-hmm. As far as information, what kind of information is it? It's a description, yes. But are those descriptions true or not? True. So basically, they're just describing the facts about the Lord. Right? Mm-hmm. So, that's why that in itself won't be satisfying to the Lord.
Mm. He knows that.
Yeah, he knows who he is. And he's known eternally who he is.
So he wants an action?
Rasa? Yes. So it's about the relationship and the interaction based on that relationship.
So he's interested mainly in relationship.
What else is there? Because if it's about his existence, about him being the greatest and most fantastic, then that's just what he is. Right? So, but the point is interacting with his expanded energies. That's what gives him some interest, right? Now for us, we may like it when people tell us how fantastic we are, because we're just the soul. We're actually not the body and subtle body. So when people say we are that, then we're very happy, because we aren't that. You know?
Yeah.
You know, when someone says, no, be truthful, tell me what you think, is that it's still not truthful. Because we're not that. Right? So, it may to us sound interesting. But to Krishna, he is existence. So, it's not interesting to him. Mm-hmm. You know. Oh, great one, you have a job at the post office. You know, you are the one that goes through and takes all the mail and puts it into your bus. And then you drive your bus around the city. And then you get off and you deliver the mail to the proper address like that. And, you know, you fend off the dogs. You know, oh, great deliverer. You know what I'm saying?
Finally someone gets me.
Huh?
Finally someone gets me.
Yeah. You can understand. Does that sound exciting? Right, you know, so it's that's not the interest. Because they're just talking about facts. But for us, because we're trying to gather those facts and have them connected to us, therefore we think it's something special. But actually it's not. You know, being the supreme controller is not for him anything special.
But for us it is, because we are not.
Yes, that's why we think that that's what will please the Lord. But as Prahlad Maharaj is pointing out, it's actually the devotion that's pleasing the Lord. You see what's happening here in this whole section on Prahlad Maharaj, his instructions. They're always consistent like this. So whatever in the first six cantos, we've been kind of focusing on how the secondary can be connected to the Lord, and you can be absorbed in the Lord and engaged in all these secondary activities and not be distracted by them, right? And so we've had so many examples, ones that are more general, you know, that are, and then others that just go higher and higher in their consciousness, right? But as we get here, he's pointing out that he's not saying that you can't engage these things in Krishna's service. He's just saying is the engagement of those things is not what interests Krishna. It's the devotion in which it's engaged that pleases Krishna. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. That's what makes the difference. Because otherwise, if we leave it at the other thing, what's going to happen? With time, we'll just become more and more engrossed in the secondary and think that we're more and more, you know, advancing. Right? Because if I'm fixed in devotional service, I consider that advancement. But because I can engage all these secondary things in devotional service, therefore, the more I'm fixed in those secondary things, how nicely the house is, and then the children, the business, the money, I've worked out this and that, I've got everything down, it's all happening, get up in the morning, got my rounds here, I got that there, it's all, you know, I got it all down, like that. So I'll consider that's devotional service. But that's a nice medium to perform devotional service. But the devotional service is actually doing that with devotion to the Lord. Does that make sense? So that's what Prahlad Maharaj is doing here. He's bringing us to the point where we want to focus on the secondary because we get a good result for Krishna. But we have to remember that if we put all the focus into just performing the duties of the secondary nicely and forget about the devotion to Krishna, we've missed the point. Does that make sense? Because otherwise it won't balance. You know? Does that make sense? And we won't understand the Brajvasis. Because the Sahajiyas think, oh, I'm, like I said, going to collect some water from the Jamuna, or I'm doing this, you know, putting flowers in the Kunja, you know, and all that. That's the whole thing. And so I'm rolling around in ecstasy, absorbing myself in that. Where was Krishna? You understand? So we're talking on the spiritual platform, the spiritual world, spiritual form, everything spiritual. But where was Krishna? So, only being absorbed in the secondary, in the material world, and only being absorbed in the secondary, in the spiritual world, what's the difference? Right? Just one is with good quality stuff, one is with bad quality stuff, right? Somebody's staying in a hotel, you know, five star and going in, eating something, going to sleep. And someone is, you know, staying in, you know, the, what is it, you know, cockroach motel and, you know, getting some, you know, bringing it, you know, something with them to eat, eating it, you know, putting the box on, you know, next to the TV and falling asleep. What's the difference? Right? So technically it's the same principle. Just one's doing it with a little higher grade quality of things and someone's doing it with a lower grade. But in principle, they're both just eating and sleeping. So that's where Paladmars is making this. He says, no, but you can't. Yes, you can. That's already been dealt with. But now let us be focused on that actually the thing that pleases Krishna is the devotion in which we engage all those things that we're so happy to engage. Yes?
We see that usually if somebody already made all the arrangements to run nicely, it takes so much energy to maintain it that by nature you forget the goal that you made all those arrangements
That's
for.
The point that Prahlad Maharaj is making. Because otherwise we will think, because see, it's like this. Let us say I make some arrangements and I, you know, my idea is to do it for Krishna. But okay, but once I make those arrangements, I'll see that there's more arrangements can be made. No matter how good you make it, it can always be better. Right? And so then the problem comes is that extra effort in making that just that last little bit better, where does the time for that come out of?
Sadhana,
family time, other things like that. So that's the problem is if we understand that it's never perfect in the material world, so we get it. That's why Prabhupada uses the term comfortable. And his definition of comfortable, because otherwise comfortable, everyone could have a whole idea. Yeah, I, you know, is not uncomfortable. So in other words, how it means up to a certain point you're uncomfortable, but once you get to the point where now it's comfortable, it's not uncomfortable, that's where you don't have to go beyond. Does that make sense? You know, okay, if somebody makes, let's say, that, you know, $10,000 a year and they're not uncomfortable, they don't need to make more. Of course, they have ideas and plans, they can make 30,000, but there's no need. Right? So it's only necessary if someone, they're not comfortable until they get to that much. Because one will say, oh, but you know, so that's more. But the point is the person who 30 is comfortable for them could make 50. But they don't, they stick at 30. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole point, is that at which point, because otherwise then it gets out of balance. Like you said, you have more stuff, more to maintain, that takes time out that could be used in Krishna consciousness. Now, if there's a need for that, then of course you do. Then it's service, taking care of it, because then it's Krishna. But if there's no need for it, then, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's the point, is it? That balances it. Because one always has to understand the primary of devotion to Krishna is the real thing. Then, because we're going to express it, we're going to express it through something. And so that's going to be our duties. But it's not the duties that are important. It's the expression that's important. Is that something? Yeah? You had something to say.
I was just thinking, if you get too caught up in the secondary, does that open up for Raja Gun that it, like, if the more outlandish secondary you can connect, the better, because it shows how transcendental it is, and then suddenly...
Well, it means you could. It means if you're taking engaging the senses and all that, then you would say that's Rajasa. Mm. But... where does it say that engaging the most outlandish is actually a service? If your life happens to be outlandish, then you engage that, you know. Does that, if your name's Pierre and you live up in the Arctic Circle, then yes, it's going to be a bit outlandish.
Yes.
But if you're not, then why would you bother?
You wouldn't move there.
No. No. Good. Okay, can strike that one off.
Yeah.
Okay. If I'm not doing this, am I surrendering?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Is this clear? In other words, can we see the shift that's happened now? It means we've taken the point of that everything's connected to Krishna. We can see everything by using the techniques that, you know, that were there in Sambandhavidaya and Prayojana, you know, the Chaturvyuha. Then we can find everything connected to Krishna because it's all Krishna. Right? But we see Prahlad Maharaj is already doing this. He doesn't have to think about this. Because when he asks him about the pillar, he's already saying he's everywhere. He's that, you know, where does your power come from? The same place as yours. So we're all, you know. So that for him is just matter of fact. So the real focus for him is on the devotion. What we see with the others, then that focus on that technique was the service. And so it's elevated, it's advanced. But the point is this is even more pleasing. You understand? Like Priyavrata, he's known as a Paramahamsa. Right? So that means he's transcendentally situated. He's a devotee seeing the Lord everywhere. But we see Prahlad Maharaj is known as a devotee. Sorry? A Mahajan, yes. But I'm just saying, that aspect is he's known as a devotee. So his great scholarship is this, that. That's not what's counted. It's the devotion that's seen. You understand? So we see the shift here. That's why I said is that with Prahlad Maharaj, now they're dealing with pure devotion. It's not that before this, Bhagavatam, the whole thing is about pure devotion. But now, it's just they're focusing just on the aspect of pure devotion, not what you're engaging in pure devotion. Right? The first six canons are teaching you how to engage everything in pure devotion to the Lord. Now it's just talking about the devotion itself. We see the difference. Because otherwise we too easily throw around these kind of terms. Oh, he's the first pure devotee be described. Maybe these others are all great devotees. And, you know, I mean, like Rishabdev happens to be God himself. You know, so, you know, we can't...
pretty well situated.
Yeah, can't, well, you know, find fault there. You know how you say? Okay, Prahlad Maharaj continued, one may possess wealth and an aristocratic family, beauty, austerity, education, sensory expertise, luster, influence, physical strength, diligence, intelligence, and mystic power. But I think that even by all these qualifications, one cannot satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Not that you can't engage these, because you see as so many different devotees had these qualities. But it's their devotion that pleases the Lord, not these things. Mm-hmm. Okay. However, one can satisfy the Lord simply by devotional service. Gajendra did this, and thus the Lord was satisfied with him. Right? So Gajendra would have been before Prahlad Maharaj. Right? Because he's quoting like that. You know, we're going back, you know, to the right in the beginning of the universe, and then here's how you say, quoting, you know, before that.
Yes.
You know, so that's always fun. If a Brahmin has all 12 of the Brahminical qualifications, as they are stated in the book called Sanat Sujata, but is not a devotee and is averse to the lotus feet of the Lord, he is certainly lower than a devotee who is a dog eater, but who has dedicated everything, mind, words, activities, wealth, and life to the Supreme Lord. Right? It doesn't mean that he's living the lifestyle of a dog eater, he's living the lifestyle of the devotee. But it's not because of that that makes him. It's not that, yeah, he's doing, but he has to be following all the things. No, that's not the point. Because this it already mentioned the Brahmin who has all 12 qualifications. So that includes all the things that we would expect. That's not going to please the Lord because he's not favorable to the Lord. But the dog eater is favorable to the Lord. That's the point that makes him qualify. Right? Because otherwise say, no, but he's following this. No, he doesn't eat dogs anymore. You know, at least he doesn't eat anybody's pet dogs. Maybe street dogs, but not pet dogs. So he doesn't bother anybody. You know, he's doing a public service. You know, like that. So, you know what I'm saying? So that's not the point. The point is that he's a devotee. That's what attracts the Lord. You know, that doesn't mean now we ask, oh, so then he can still be eating dogs? So that's not what we're talking about. That's the whole point. Seventh canto, we have to get over this. You know, we have to get over that this is the make it or break it. The point is, it's the devotion. So if it, so it's like this. If you can have that full devotion and absorption of the Lord and be a dog eater, then okay, go for it. But the point is that what to do? Is that what's recommended? Why would you do that? Right? In other words, if you're following something, why would you go backwards? Just because you could.
Right? That can't be out of devotion.
Huh?
That cannot be out of devotion.
It wouldn't. Why would you do that? It wouldn't, because the idea is what's recommended. So Krishna never recommends being a dog eater. Right? So it's not a recommended process. So we wouldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? So why would you think, oh, but if it can be done, what is the foundation of this? Right? Is the foundation that I'm seeing Krishna in everything and seeing how to engage everything connected to Krishna? Yeah? Okay, of course, yes. Or is it that I'm seeing opportunities that I could do things that I might like? Yes, that's the point. So then we're dealing with the mixed aspect. So that means it's whatever situation we're in, we take that and connect it with the Lord. It's not that we take our ideas that we would that think would be fabulous but we don't have and then work for them to please the Lord. So when it's talking about engaging your position, that means what you actually have, not what you wish you had. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. That's the reality. Is what we actually are, what we actually can do, that's what we engage. You know what I'm saying? The wino has a bottle of wine. It's not that he hears about it, then goes out and buys the bottle of wine. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that one has to go from one's position. And one does not rationalize one's position, because that, why would that be pure devotional service? So, such a devotee is better than such a Brahmin, because a devotee can purify his whole family, whereas the so-called Brahmin in position of false prestige cannot purify even himself, right? So that devotee will purify his whole family because he has taken up devotional service. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The 12 vows of a Brahmin are knowledge, truth, mind control, sense control, hearing, disinterestedness, shyness, tolerance, lack of envy, sacrifice, charity, fortitude, and peacefulness, sanat sujata. The dog eater with bhakti is far superior. The verse specifically speaks of a brahmana who is averse to the lotus feet of the Lord. The dog eater who has offered his mind, actions, wealth, words, and life to the Lord is superior. How is he superior? He purifies his whole family, whereas a person who is respected by people does not purify even himself. What to speak of his family? So that's the point. Being respected by the people, that's overrated. Right? It's about being absorbed and doing everything for Krishna. Now, people respect, nice. But just because they respect you, that doesn't mean it's devotion. Right? I did something, people respect me, therefore it's connected to devotee, therefore it's great devotional service. Fine, now how are you going to take it farther? Right? Are they going to be chanting? Are they going to be surrendering to Krishna? You know? No. All they're going to be doing is respecting you. How is that devotional service? Yes?
Can we say that each step that a person does, like here, it don't get here, if he surrenders, then this step is glorified, then he becomes better than a Brahman. But if he doesn't take another step towards the Lord, then he goes backwards again.
That's there, but we're talking about who has how you say, offered his mind, actions, wealth, words, and life to the Lord.
But it's an ongoing process.
Yes, but they're saying that's where he's situated.
Because I'm thinking about ourselves, you know, where we're situated. We did surrender, but then we got, you know, mixes. We continue to surrender, mixes continue to hold us.
We're still worried about the sharp eggs. Yes, it is. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. This devotee purifies his whole family, whereas a person who is respected by the people does not purify even himself. What to speak of his family? Sridhar Swami says that these qualities without bhakti produce only pride. So these 12 qualities of Brahman, if we have them without bhakti, we'll only become proud of it. You know, as we see. Like sometimes we talk about those from the, you know, follow more of traditional values and that accept authority, deal with the proper culture and things like that. So we're saying that that position is better than those who consider themselves intellectual but doubt authority but they're into the people, all the individualistic kind of things. So we're saying the other one's actually better. But the problem comes is that they're proud of those things. So they, as an individual, may not be a nice person. Right? While the other person, he also talks so nicely and all that, but if it's outside of his area of quote-unquote liberalness, he's also not a nice person. So the point is having good qualities without Krishna consciousness simply creates pride. That's the point. But if these are engaged in the Lord's service, then there it makes a very big number, right? 12 zeros and you put a 1 in front of that, it's not a bad number, right? Isn't it? Yeah, I mean, if you have 6 zeros and a 1 in front, people are happy, let alone double that, right?
You're right, 3.
It depends on the currency.
So in other words, good qualities are of value if they're connected to Krishna, but not connected to Krishna, they'll only create pride. Right? So pride in the mode of goodness is better than that in the mode of passion, is better than that in the mode of ignorance. But the problem is pride will get in the way of devotional service. So that's the difficulty. So what happens when people are arta, artarti, jigyasu, then the pride is less. So there's an opening for devotional service. Right? But mudha means he's quite confident in his position, right? He doesn't even think about it. He's so confident, right? Naradhama, definitely proud of his position. We mentioned them before. You know, we opened this discussion with them, right? Mayaya Pratigyana, like that. They definitely think that they're better than everybody. And the Asura, then, you know, he's better because he controls everybody. So, right? You understand? So the pride is that point of that side. Well, the other side, due to lack of pride, they're open to surrendering to the Lord. So that's why pride is, one has to be very careful of. Does that make sense? Prahlad Maharaj continued, "The Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is always fully satisfied in Himself. Therefore, when something is offered to Him, the offering by the Lord's mercy is for the benefit of the devotee. For the devotee, the Lord does not need service from anyone. To give an example, if one's face is decorated, the reflection of one's face in a mirror is also seen to be decorated." Footnote 39. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns verses 9 to 11 to Bhagavad Akramichimala chapter 13 entitled Sadhana Bhakti, executed exclusively by taking shelter of the holy name. Aikantiki Namashraya Sadhana Bhakti, which is in the Abhideya section of the Thakura's book, right? So we saw before there were so many verses that he was talking about what was favorable for devotional service, or unfavorable. But this is then that Aikantiki Bhakti, right? So this is where it's about the surrender to the Lord with body, mind, and words. That's what makes the process work. The others are favorable to bhakti. This is the bhakti itself. Right? Does that make sense? You know, that's what makes this unique here. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates.
What, sir? What's Aikantiki?
How do you say? Exclusive. Like this exclusive shelter. Namashraya. Right? Aikantiki. Exclusively surrendering to the Lord. Like it's like Aikayana. It's like the same kind of thing. Where's that exclusiveness? The Lord may object. Then, respecting me by hearing, chanting, and offerings is bhakti. I am pleased with that, and not by austerity or study of the Vedas. If that is so, it means that I am self-centered. To which Pallad would reply, right? In other words, he's saying, if you're saying it's only about the bhakti to me, right? Because now we're taking it another step, is we're looking at it and going, fine. But now the Lord's looking at it and says, well, if you're saying it's not about doing all the things that are recommended and all that, it's just by the devotion to me, then wouldn't I be self-centered if that's the principle? Pallad Maharaj would reply, this is not so. You, the Lord, do not accept respect from an ignorant person for yourself. Everyone from Brahma to the tree is ignorant. No righteous person accepts respect from a person devoid of knowledge of scripture. It is said that the quality of knowledge in a person is the cause of accepting his respect. And a certain quality fixed in you is the cause of accepting that person's respect. You are complete in your own attainments, but merciful. Thus you accept the respect of an ignorant person. Why do you accept? You accept to show mercy to him. Your accepting his respect is your quality of mercy, which is fixed in you. That is the cause. You do not gain by the respect given by any material person, but the giver of respect gains. Right? So he was saying, but it'd be self-centered, but Krishna doesn't benefit from it. It's the devotee benefits. Right? That's what it means. You decorate your face, it's there in the mirror. Whatever worship a person offers to the Lord is beneficial for that person, just as the beauty of tilak on the face is reflected in a beautiful image on a mirror. Beautifying a reflection does not produce a beautiful reflection. Right? In other words, if I'm going to benefit, then I'm worshiping the Lord. Right? Then we see in the reflection, then there's tilak in the reflection. But if I try to put the tilak on the reflection, it's not going to work out. So when I try to do benefit for myself, it doesn't work out. But when I benefit the Lord, then it naturally reflects. That's the point. Because it's not that we're the source of the qualities. Krishna is the source. So when things are given to that original source, then the cat is back. He doesn't have a hat, though.
Shall I put him in?
If you could do that, stick him in a hat and you'd end up somewhere else, that would be fabulous. You haven't met the cat yet.
That's the new student?
Yeah. It's just a local wild cat, and he's decided that coming in here is what he does. He's going to get some attention here.
Yeah.
And he's very fixed in getting that attention.
Yeah.
Okay. Does this make sense? So in other words, doing things for the Lord, we get benefit. But if we do things for the Lord with the purpose that we're going to get the benefit, then we don't get the benefit, because then we're putting it on the mirror. You know, so you can only put it on the Lord, and then it will work. It will be reflected in the mirror. But if we try to say, no, but I'm going to get the benefit anyway, or so that's the whole problem with dealing with mixed devotional service, is some of it's on the face and some of it's on the mirror. Which, the chosen person.
Finally.
Yes, yes. He knows that guy. He's the one that picks him up and takes him away.
Oh.
So that's why when he went, oop. Srila Jiva Goswami refers to this verse in his Bhakti Sandarbha Anucheda 167. The Lord doesn't require service. The render of service gets the benefit. Also, if one wishes to become beautiful, one should beautify the Lord. It is the Lord's mercy that he accepts the devotee's service. Right? Right? Just like even in the kind of like the European concept of someone comes to the position of beatitude. How is that done? Have they done something for themselves? No, they did something in pursuit of pleasing the Lord. So then they're elevated to that position of beatitude. Does this make sense to people? Know what I'm talking about? The Catholics, they have this system called sainthood. So that's elevating to the position of beatitude.
What?
Beatitude. Like beauty, the position of beatitude. Beatitude. Oh. Beatitude. Beatitude? Oh. I think one of them is also Beatrice, right? Isn't she one of the Beatitudinites?
And how you spell it?
Like beauty. Beauty too. Yeah. Also, it's used. It's an old word. Manasamita talks about it. Let's say like a Shudra who, you know, dies protecting a Brahmin or a cow is then elevated to beatitude. Like that. Means, huh?
Beatitude.
Beatitude. Did I say it right? Say it again. Push it again.
Beatitude.
I got to put that. Beatitude.
Here it says it's...
Beatitude.
It's the same as...
But that's American English, right?
Yeah.
What would British... How would the British say it?
This one.
Doesn't American. Do that.
Specifically.
But that says...
Beatitude.
That's its... It's Ananda.
Ananda?
Yeah. I mean, what's the name? In English would be the exact translation.
I understood that they're elevated to a divine position, and so that may be the happiness they get from it. Huh?
The translation is bliss.
Huh?
I think it's below sainthood.
It's below sainthood.
Yeah, but okay. The translation here is bliss.
Oh, okay. So, I say, so we're made out of eternity, knowledge, and beatitude.
If you take, for example, giving this beatification or whatever it is, while they're waiting to see.
Oh, I see. While they're waiting to become saint.
To be saint after that, maybe.
Okay. So, but then the question comes. The question comes is, are they actually going to be blissful if they're waiting in that state of bureaucracy before they get to sainthood? Will they actually be blissful? Or would they be? Oh, they're already. It means you have to be dead to come to the beatitude. Okay, well that's the thing. So then we can say, yeah, it's just like you say, yeah, you know, they're happy, you know. How do we know they're dead? You know, so no one can say. You know? Okay, they've got it worked out.
Their followers are happy.
Huh?
Their followers are happy.
Their followers are happy. That's another point. Yeah, it's just like our acharya from Brahmaloka. They seem to be quite happy with his deadness. You know, like that. Excuse me, your deadness. Yes. Yes. It would have a whole different meaning down in the Caribbean, right?
really kill the leader and eat him.
No, no, that did not mean like the zombies.
Zombies.
Yeah. So zombies could actually be ecstatic because they're already dead. No. We've taken this tangent too far, so okay, let's continue. Okay. Okay. The verse explains that the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not wish for his own personal benefit, that his devotees worship him. The reason he accepts their worship is that he is very pleased to associate with his devotees. Another reason is that he is kind to his devotees. Elaborate arrangements to worship him do not of themselves please him at all, right? So that worship itself is a secondary aspect. It's the mood in which they worship that is what attracts him. That's why he likes to associate with him, because of that mood. But the service itself is being rendered, and so that's accepted, but out of mercy for the devotee. Right? So, of course, the devotee benefits because of the secondary aspect. For the Lord, his interest is in the primary aspect of just the mood of devotion itself.
Why we always come back to the same point? We always make too much out of the secondary, and the Lord is always stressing the primary. Always,
because that's our problem. Why is it every winter we're stressing the importance that the children should wear warm clothes? Right? Because they don't catch it. Why not? Because of their own sense of enjoyment. Does that make sense? Okay. Can you turn off that one fan? Yes. Too slow. Okay. Because we're attached to that secondary, because we are energy. So then we look at forms and activities, results. But the actual point is that all that has meaning because of its connection with the primary. Right? Does that make sense? Like, energy does things. And so that's its nature, to do all these different things. Doing those different things in connection with the Lord, it actually has real meaning. The material world is like trying to run your refrigerator without being connected to the current. Okay? So everybody just says we have a refrigerator. You know, it's like kids out in the backyard, you know, they cook and all that, they eat, and they go, oh yeah, so nice. You understand? Smooth road is that the Gorny typing goes. That's Peter. Okay. Oh, I thought it wasn't him. Somehow the singing voice and his talking voice, I don't match. Okay, so the reason he accepts their worship is that he's very pleased to associate with the devotees, right? Because of the mood, you know, to associate with them as people and all that kind of thing. Another reason is that he is kind to his devotees. So they've offered, you know, in a proper attitude, in a proper way, so he's happy to receive that. So this idea is, no, it's just about the devotion, so I don't have to worry about what I'm offering. But then, what's your reason for not offering what would be pleasing to him? So therefore, is that actually pleasing to the Lord? Right? Since that's not why he's involved. Right? So here. Elaborate arrangements to worship him do not of themselves please him at all. So It's the devotion within them that pleases him. So one has great devotion, one's made elaborate arrangements, he'll be pleased with it because of the devotion. But someone who thinks that just by doing some big, big arrangements, that will please, that won't work. What is that the devotee like? The answer is given in the word avidusha, unaware. As a child is foolish and unaware in the presence of the Father, so the devotee is in the presence of the Supreme Lord. This statement shows the humbleness of the devotees. If it were not for the Lord empowering them to understand, the devotees would not understand anything. That is the meaning. In this way, on both sides, for both the Lord and the devotee, there are feelings of love and kindness. Fearing that some materialists might think, why should the people worship the Lord? There is no reason to worship him. Right? Because it's saying the worship is not what pleases him, so therefore we don't need to do it. You know, we can just within our heart think nice things and everything's done. Right? Something, yeah. Like that. Prahlad gives a reason for worshiping the Lord. He says that everyone is interested in his own welfare, and by serving the Lord, one automatically benefits himself. In this way, thinking of one's own happiness, one should worship the Lord. Here he gives the following example. If one's face is decorated, the reflection of one's face in a mirror is also seen to be decorated. It is not otherwise. So his point is that you'll only get benefit when that benefit is given to the Lord. Then you get that benefit. But if you perform that benefit for the purpose of getting the benefit, there's no devotion, so how will the Lord accept it? So that's the fun part, is you want the benefit, you can't get it if you're wanting the benefit. When you give up the desire for the benefit, that's when you get the benefit. Right? So that's the problem. We want to desire it and get it. You know? Or we can not desire it and not get it. We have these two policies, yeah, karma and jnana. But to not want it and get it, that just doesn't come, it just doesn't, does not compute. So that's why we keep asking. Same thing gets said, it just does not compute. It takes a while for us to soak in. You know, it's like that plant that's sitting on the roof and you forgot to water it, and you pour the water, it just goes straight out the bottom. Yeah, so that's why therefore we have 12 cantos to kind of soften the ground up so the water sticks. Okay.
Pretend.
Yeah. Prahlad Maharaj continued, therefore, although I was born in a demoniac family, I may without a doubt offer prayers to the Lord with full endeavor, as far as my intelligence allows. Anyone who has been forced by ignorance to enter the material world may be purified of material life if he offers prayers to the Lord and hears the Lord's glories. So offering prayers and hearing the Lord's glories, we get benefited, because otherwise we're generally worried about our glories and like that. So we hear, then we understand the Lord's position, we're purified in connection. Then, by association with the devotees, we start to develop that devotion. Verses 13 to 15. Prahlad Maharaj requests the Lord to give up his anger. Prahlad Maharaj continued, O my Lord, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma are sincere servants of your Lordship, who are situated in a transcendental position. Therefore, they are not like us, Prahlad and his father, the demon Hiranyakashipu. Right? Means they're all demigods. They're all great. You know, they're not like us. We're demons. Right? You know, that's his. Your appearance in this fearsome form is your pastime, for your own pleasure. Such an incarnation is always meant for the protection and improvement of the universe. My Lord Nrisingadev, please therefore cease your anger now that my father, the great demon Hiranyakashipu, has been killed. Anger now that my father, the great demon Hiranyakashipu, has been killed. Since even saintly persons take pleasure in the killing of a scorpion or a snake, all the worlds have achieved great satisfaction because of the death of this demon. Now they are confident of their happiness, and they will always remember your auspicious incarnation in order to be free from fear. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, People are now aware that you are the punisher of sinners and protector of the righteous. Making such an appearance is not necessary again. They remember this form for removing fear. This means, after this, just by remembering this form, the demons will become frightened and die. Right? So you don't even have to come back again. No, just remembering it, and then have a heart
message
attack.
Received.
Yes. Prahlad Maharaj continued, "My Lord, who are never conquered by anyone, I am certainly not afraid of your ferocious mouth and tongue, your eyes bright like the sun, or your frowning eyebrows. I do not fear your sharp, pinching teeth, your garland of intestines, your mane soaked with blood, or your high, wedge-like ears. Nor do I fear your tumultuous roaring, which makes elephants flee to distant places, or your nails, which are meant to kill your enemies. O most powerful, insurmountable Lord, who are kind to the fallen souls, I have been put into the association of demons as a result of my activities. And therefore, I am very much afraid of my condition of life within this material world. When will that moment come when you will call me to the shelter of your lotus feet, which are the ultimate goal for liberation from conditional life? O Great One, O Supreme Lord, because of combination with pleasing and displeasing circumstances, and because of separation from them, one is placed in a most regrettable position." Right, so there's always things that are pleasing and non-pleasing, and then the combinations of those, and then being separated from that, then it always creates a disturbing situation. Because the basic thing is what you're not interested in is what you end up in, what you would like is what you're separated from. That's generally how things work in the world. It's just the way it works. Right? So, therefore, it's just designed to make you unhappy. Right? You know, why can't we be together? Yes, you will be together, but not with, you know, like that. Although there are many... Okay.
Within heaven or hell, right above all that.
I'm not finding any of that. Okay. Okay, we'll start this. When will that moment come when you will call me to the shelter with lotus feet, which are the ultimate goal for liberation from conditioned life? O Great One, O Supreme Lord, because of combination with pleasing and displeasing circumstances, and because of separation from them, one is placed in a most regrettable position within heavenly or hellish planets, as if burning in a fire of lamentation. Right? So even if one's in a heavenly planet, it doesn't mean that there's not troubles. Right? It means when Hirani, right now, what's the position of the demigods, right? It's not a nice condition. They're in a hellish condition, though they're on the heavenly planets. Now Hiranyakashipu is killed, now it'll go back to its natural state of the heavenly planets, so things will be nice. But it's not that they don't have all these different lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. So they still have all those, and they all come up. But it's just that it all happens in a really nice environment. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's the... You know, it's like we walk around the... How you saying? Walk around the corner, and then on the other side of the street is somebody we wish we didn't see, so we go back around the corner, you know? So, or, you know, you're in St. Petersburg at the Tsar is throwing a ball and that, and you happen to walk out behind the pillar and see somebody you don't want, so you go back behind the pillar. It's the same position. Right? Just, you know, situation is nicer or less. Although there are many remedies by which to get out of miserable life, any such remedies in the material world are more miserable than the miseries themselves. Right? Yeah. You know, that's the point. The medicine is worse. The cure is worse than the disease. That's always the way. Otherwise, how does it get rid of the disease?
Yeah.
How much suffering you're supposed to have with the disease, that's what the cure gives for you. So that's why the disease goes away. Yeah.
If you think our problems are bad ways, so you see our solutions.
Yes. Yes, yes. Okay. Therefore, I think that the only remedy is to engage in your service. Kindly instruct me in such service. Right, so he sees he's glorifying the Lord, but it's always bringing to the point of some service, an engagement in the service, like that, something to do with the relationship. So he's not just leaving it on the facts of his greatness. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura elaborates. The Lord proposes, what will you do by serving my feet? Please enjoy the happiness from the wealth of the three worlds related to the Petris. Here it says the Lord proposes in brackets and Prahlad replies and that. That's the way it is in the thing, or you put
no,
that in?
I put that because otherwise he just puts it in quotes and then no quotes.
Yeah. No, I was going to suggest that you do this. So from now on you always do this.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Okay.
Otherwise it's confusing.
But I think some places before this it's not done.
In different cantos it was, and everyone I did I put that, because otherwise it...
Okay, so you should then also discuss with Pandava, because it makes it a lot.
Yes.
Because otherwise if you're not used to it, sometimes you'll miss it.
Right.
The Lord proposes, what will you do by serving my feet? Please enjoy the happiness from the wealth of the three worlds related to the Petris, right? Because this is his father's kingdom, is the whole universe. So now, you know, enjoy your father's kingdom, right? Prahlad replies, I experience the fire of lamentation through birth, with separation and attainment of wanted and unwanted objects in all wombs. Even in the body of a king, this lamentation is present. The Lord suggests, there are many remedies for the fire of lamentation. Prahlad responds, the remedy for suffering only produces more suffering. By thinking that still I am happy, even in the body of a pig, I wander about. Please tell me the method of being your servant. By which method should I attain your service? Please tell the truth. If I have service to you, I will have no sufferings at all in any womb. Right. So his point is, if he's engaged in the Lord's service, it doesn't matter where he is or where he takes birth in the material world, he'll always be happy. So he's not talking about liberation. Right. So he's not talking about free me from the suffering in the material world. He's talking about free me from material consciousness so I'm always absorbed in your service. And he's not asking to get out of the material world, right? So that's his position. So he went to take a phone call, and then the cat found it. Yes.
Resolute determination.
Oh, he probably thought, you know, oh, we were missing him. You know,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
So. Prahlad Maharaj continued. O my Lord, Nrisingadev, by engaging in your transcendental loving service in the association of devotees, who are liberated souls, hamsas, I shall become completely uncontaminated by the association of the three modes of material nature and be able to chant the glories of your lordship, who are so dear to me. I shall chant your glories following exactly in the footsteps of Lord Brahma and his disciplic succession. In this way I shall undoubtedly be able to cross the ocean of nescience. Footnote 40. The Yuvanti Brahmana similarly stated, I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean of nescience by being firmly fixed in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. This was approved by the previous acharyas, who were all fixed in firm devotion to the Lord, Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As this verse is also quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Mm.
And then there's a couple of more words in it. By being firmly fixed in the, they put devotional and the lotus feet of the Lord Krishna.
Mm. Okay.
No, I'm just saying this is verse.
Right.
I'm just saying over there something like
in
that.
Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Yeah. That. So it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
This one. Yeah. So this is. Yeah, so that's the point. Yeah, that being fixed in the Lord's devotional service, that's an important thing. Because Krishna says when one is steady in devotional service, then one is freed from the control of the modes of nature. That person is liberated. So it's not that you're trying to get to a situation. The situation itself is the situation of being absorbed in the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? So you're trying to get to the service of the Lord, not trying to be liberated. Because you can be liberated, not situated in the service of the Lord, that means one will come back. But if one is situated in the service of the Lord, then automatically one's liberated. Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense.
When the Lord says there are many remedies for the fire of lamentation, he's still saying that that includes things like liberation and for love's sake.
Most likely. And that's why he says, I'm not interested in those things. I only want the service of the lotus feet. Because the point is in the material world, people think dharma, artha, kama, and moksha will free them from all kinds of anxieties. But the point is that they won't. It's just people say that. So he's saying, you know, there's so many things here, whatever you like, then I'll arrange that for you. And they say, no, I don't want any of that. So that's what Prabhupada said, is he wasn't going for any of the Shingadev's tricks like that. You know, he says, no, I'll just... Someone's in their kitchen. Okay. So I thought you were there and I saw you walking this way.
Bhakti is independent.
Yes.
But sometimes what is said, I need to arrange certain prerequisites or some certain arrangements so that I would be able to perform bhakti properly, otherwise I'm unable to. And then they're saying we need all of these, we need to go through certain things, we need certain medicines or this and that apart from bhakti in order to get to bhakti.
But then that's the karma aspect. It means by having those things that may be for themselves a more favorable environment. In other words, where they're less uncomfortable. But the point is no matter what the situation, you can remember the Lord. Because if you're saying, only if I get this medicine, then I can do devotional service. The point is, you can always hear, chant, and remember about the Lord no matter what. There may be a certain kind of service we like to render, and we call that our devotional service. That may be disturbed by situations in the world. But the point is, devotional service is independent. You can go on anyway. Because it's not connected with that.
Mm-hmm. Could we say also that if we had the right mood, then getting the medicine would be part of the devotion service?
Can be, yes, because we want to do for that, but that was the discussion we had earlier, is that is it about the benefits of the medicine, you know, in the way of the health and all that, or is it about the ability to render service?
It's just part of what needs to be done.
Yeah, it's included already. Yeah. But then it's about, you know, I have to be situated nicely in service, I'm sick, so therefore I do like that. So the focus is on the service. So if that's there, then it's not a problem. But when it's the other way, then it's mixed. Because then, you know, there's so much disturbances in that. Like that. You know, because... Yeah. Okay. Prahlad Maharaj continued. Is that where we were? No, where was the 40? There was. Srila Prabhupada comments, this material world is miserable, regardless of one's standard of life. You know, he doesn't say, is sometimes miserable, you know, perceived as miserable. He just says, this material world is miserable. then. Regardless of one's standard of life. So that means from Brahma down to the Indragopa, they're all miserable. Of this, there is no doubt. Again, reconfirming, right? Attempts to mitigate the miseries of material existence by material methods will never be successful, right? No material problem can be solved by a material solution, right? So that's why G said, if you think our problems are bad, wait till you see our solutions, right? Because they're always going to be worse, right? So the only solution to material problems is spiritual solution. That means absorption and devotional service. That's the only thing that's going to correct. Because the problem is material consciousness. It's not the material world, it's the material consciousness. Right? Because if you're not in material consciousness, one, Maya doesn't have to harass you, because she only harasses you to get you out of material consciousness. Right? You know, it's just like if somebody's asleep, you're supposed to wake them up, and so therefore then you call their name and then they get up and everything goes on, then that's, we're done, But if you call them, they don't do it. You come in, you start shaking them, things like that. You know, then next to pull off the covers, turn off the fan, turn on the lights. And then depending upon if they're still not awake, then there's always the bucket of water. Right? So, but what's the purpose?
Slap before the bucket of water.
I always skip the slap. Yeah, I always go straight for the water. Hit him with the bucket of water. No, I never tried that one either. But the purpose is to wake them up for their benefit. So Maya is simply trying to wake everyone up. So she harasses. So if you're already awake, there's no need to harass. But it doesn't mean that around you, the environment, because everybody else is being harassed, and you have to share the environment, it's not that there won't be a problem. Right? You know, in other words, the warden of the prison is still in a prison. They're not in a 5-star hotel or something, you know. But they're not affected by the rules of the prison, in a sense, but they're still in a prison. So even though one's a devotee and one's nicely situated, still the environment around is always adjusting and changing. It's never comfortable.
I received an invitation from some devotees. And the seminar topic was material problems, material solutions, spiritual problems, spiritual solutions. It's very funny.
Yeah, yeah. No, but there are no material solutions to material problems. It means they may think. They probably are saying from Shastra or this or that, but if they're not from Shastra, then they're really off. You just have to point out, Prabhupada, you know, mentions here, there are no solutions to material problems. The only thing you have, you know, spiritual solutions work for everything. One must take to Krishna consciousness to become really happy. Otherwise, happiness is impossible. So that means there is no solution. One might say that becoming advanced in spiritual life also involves tapasya, voluntary acceptance of some inconvenience. However, such inconvenience is not as dangerous as material attempts to mitigate all miseries. So in other words, the difficulties that come up in trying to be Krishna conscious are less than trying to be happy in the material world.
Prabhupada said spiritual life is difficult, but material life is impossible.
Yes. You heard? Yeah. So that's... Yeah. That's good. Prahlad Maharaj continued, "My Lord Nrisimhadev, O Supreme, because of a bodily conception of life, embodied souls neglected and not cared for by you cannot do anything for their own betterment. Whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. For example, a father and mother cannot protect their child. A physician and medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient, and a boat on the ocean cannot protect a drowning man. My dear Lord, everyone in this material world is under the modes of material nature, being influenced by goodness, passion, and ignorance. Everyone from the greatest personality, Lord Brahma, down to the small ant, works under the influence of these modes. Therefore, everyone in this material world is influenced by your energy, the cause for which they work, the place where they work, the time when they work, the matter due to which they work, the goal of life they have considered final, and the process for obtaining this goal, all are nothing but manifestations of your energy. Indeed, since the energy and energetic are identical, all of them are but manifestations of you." Right? So this idea is, well, you know, how do we find, you know, how can we be Krishna conscious in our day-to-day life? You know, we're out, we're in the world, we're working, but the point is it's all Krishna. So one can easily find, you know, a way to be Krishna conscious. O Lord, O Supreme Eternal, by expanding your preliminary portion, you have created the subtle bodies of the living entities through the agency of your external energy, which is agitated by time. Thus, the mind entraps the living entity in unlimited varieties of desires to be fulfilled by the Vedic directions of karmakanda, fruit of activity, and the 16 elements. Who can get free from this entanglement unless he takes shelter at your lotus feet? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. So the sixth... What?
What do you mean agitated by time?
Agitated by time.
It
means time agitates.
I heard one devotee was telling me that, you know, sometimes devotees are very fixed and very senior and very serious, but sometimes the climax is just the time comes and then it all just kind of like falls apart. So,
but it's not because of that. It's just time is always changing everything. So the situations will change, but the person's devotional position doesn't change. You know, we're taking it, oh, it goes like that, so then they're not such a great devotee. No, it's just the situations change. But it doesn't disturb them.
It means the absence of static environment.
Agitate means is that dead matter is dead. So, you know, time then comes in and makes it move. Does that make sense?
She's thinking the other meaning of the word agitate, to bother.
Yeah. You're thinking about bother.
But this just means
that you move it. Like, you know, like you put water in the bucket, you put some soap powder in the bucket, and then you agitate it. You know, you move it around. So that's what time factor does. You know. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Continuing that regarding not the education, but that we're going through phases in life. Some are easier for Krishna consciousness, less obstacles or whatever. And sometimes people, they are facing obstacles and they are influenced by the obstacles.
Yes.
And they usually tend to call it on planets, periods in their lives or whatever. But can we say that if we are less strong in Krishna consciousness at that moment, then when we give the planets chance to influence?
It just means we're more, because of having more material connection, we're more influenced by material arrangements.
So it depends on our Krishna consciousness, basically. Not
yeah. The problem's not the planets. The problem's us. But we always want to blame someone else other than us. Oh, I'm having this problem because of the planets. No, you're having this problem because you're materially attached.
Because sometimes we do have those problems and sometimes they don't influence us.
Yes. So then we're more Krishna conscious at those times. You know. Or they're something to do with our nature that we don't mind that. You know, but then we wouldn't call it a problem. So if it would be normally a problem and it doesn't bother us and we notice, generally it means we're more Krishna conscious. You know, we get purified, so. Okay, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The Lord questions, if I am the form of everything, then I am also samsara. Why then do you want liberation from my form of samsara? Okay. If I am everything, you know, so I'm also, you know, material entanglement. Why do you want to be freed from material entanglement since I am that? You know.
You don't like me.
And he asked if I knew okay.
Yes. Yes. This is answered in two verses. Prahlad answers, Maya, your external energy creates the subtle body, the covering on the jiva, made of mind, mahatattva, and other elements. She makes mundane and Vedic activities made of maya. These are difficult to overcome. She has gunas which are agitated by the glance of the Lord's expansion. Chando, maya, means made of desires. This becomes the wheel of samsara with 16 transformations taking shelter of avidya. Who can overcome it? Those separate from you, those who do not worship you cannot overcome it. Your pure devotees, however, can overcome it. Because they're situated in him. So it's so basically that's the point, is that you can go from a lower position to a higher, and that will give good results. So, yes, the Lord is the material energy. But when we take share with the Lord, the person, then we get rid of the problems of the lower aspect. But if we try to switch around what's in the lower, it's just going to be more problem.
Is that because we don't notice them?
Notice
we don't notice those problems? Is that because when we're not noticing that there are problems?
One is if we're purified, we don't see them as problems, so it can get to the point where you don't even notice them. You know, and someone else might notice that, you know, hey, before you used to get bothered by this, why not now? So that's Krishna consciousness. Or it may be that you yourself, in reflection, think, wow, that situation, normally I'd act like this, but I didn't. You know, and so that's because of the purification, Krishna consciousness. So being absorbed in the Lord, then you're replacing the Lord's manifestation, in this case his samsara, with his pastimes. Right? So now the past samsara is how you're engaging in the modes and interacting. So how the Lord and his devotees are interacting, you're just replacing it with that. So then the Lord shouldn't feel you're trying to get rid of it.
It's of a higher quality.
Yes, it's of a higher quality. Kaladmars continued, "My dear Lord, O Supreme Great, you have created this material world of 16 constituents, but you are transcendental to their material qualities. In other words, these material qualities are under your full control, and you are never conquered by them. Therefore, the time element is your representation. My Lord, O Supreme, no one can conquer you. As for me, however, I am being crushed by the wheel of time, and therefore I surrender fully unto you. Now kindly take me under the protection of your lotus feet." Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura elaborates, "Because Maya is your energy, the wheel of samsara made of Maya is also you. However, it is different from your Sarup Shakti. Therefore, free me from it and take me to your feet in the spiritual world. Though Maya creates the material subtle body for the Jiva, you conquer the material gunas in the intelligence of the Jiva by your Sarup Shakti. You are time, which agitates the gunas. You remove ignorance in the subtle body of the jiva, the effect of maya. Bring the person being squeezed like a piece of sugar cane near to you." Right? So it's about the consciousness. Right? That's the whole point. So I think here the 16 means the mind, and then the five senses, the 10 senses and the five sense objects. Because that's the main thing that we work with. Because if you have the mind, that includes all the subtle elements. Like that. Like that. And the gross elements come along with it. That makes sense? Yeah. You smell something, it has to be in a gross form anyway. So, but you're not worried about the gross form. Yeah. Didn't make sense? Yeah, it did. Kaladmars continued. So that means every time that you see the man squeezing sugarcane juice, you can remember that's what's happening to us in the world. So then we can surrender to the Lord. So then your friends wonder why you're offering full dandabats in the middle of the road next to the sugarcane wall. Huh? Free juice? Oh, yeah, the thing is. Kaladmars continued, "My dear Lord, people in general want to be elevated to the higher planetary systems for a long duration of life, opulence and enjoyment. But I have seen all these through the activities of my father. When my father was angry and he laughed sarcastically at the demigods, they were immediately vanquished simply by seeing the movements of his eyebrows. Yet my father, who is so powerful, has now been vanquished by you within a moment." Srila Prabhupada comments, "Within this material world, one should understand by practical experience the value of material opulence, longevity, and influence. We have actually experienced that even on this planet, there have been many great politicians and military commanders, like Napoleon, Hitler, Subhash Chandra Bose, and Gandhi. But as soon as their lives were finished, their popularity, influence, and everything else were finished also." Like nowadays, the only thing that you have connected with Gandhi is that he happens to be on every, you know, piece of paper that you use when you want to buy something. right? But other than that, you don't see anymore. And when I came in the 70s, people would still talk a bit about Gandhi, you know, and wear the Gandhi clothes. Do the politicians still wear the khadi and the hats? Or they stopped all that? Huh? Few in the BJP or something. Yeah, but otherwise, it's basically... So it's just like the whole Gandhi thing is like gone, you know? Right, so that's probably the meaning of dead and gone.
You could say, you should be the change you want to see in the world.
You should be the change.
Instead of, you should change your consciousness in order to see the world.
Yes. Well, but that's the change you want to see others do. So if you can do that, then you can actually have change. Because otherwise, then it just goes on the same. Right? You know. But what was the whole problem? The Western culture is in exploiting the Indian subcontinent, you know, for the Western ideals, and then the you know, local Vedic or Indian ideals are being made subservient to these, or, you know, being, you know, at disadvantage, right? So then following the Gandhi ideals, they kick out the British, and then now, you know, everything's running by the Indians themselves, valuing the Western, you know, culture, and therefore everything that's, you know, Indian and traditional is being, you know, subdued by that.
No.
So that's the whole point, is that there is no material solution. It's always the same. Yeah. That's it. Prahlad Maharaj formally gathered the same experience by seeing the activities of Hiranyakashipu, his great father. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj did not give any importance to anything in this material world. Right? So his father is controlling everybody else who had great power and influence, and it's lost in a moment. And then he's gained even more power and influence, and then he loses it in a moment. So therefore, from seeing his father, then Prahlad Maharaj has full experience. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj did not give any importance to anything in this material world. No one can maintain his body or material achievements forever. A Vaishnava can understand that nothing within this material world, not even that which is powerful, opulent, or influential, can endure. Right? So only devotion can endure. That's the position. Prahlad Maharaj continued, "My dear Lord, now I have complete experience concerning the worldly opulence, mystic power, longevity, and other material pleasures enjoyed by all living entities, from Lord Brahma down to the ant. As powerful time, you destroy them all. Therefore, because of my experience, I do not wish to possess them. My dear Lord, I request you to place me in touch with your pure devotees and let me serve them as a sincere servant." Srila Prabhupada comments. By studying Srimad Bhagavatam, every intelligent man can get experience like that of Prahlad Maharaj through the historical incidents mentioned in this great literature of spiritual knowledge. By following the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, one should gain through experience all material opulence is perishable at every moment. Even this body for which we try to acquire so many sensual pleasures, they perish at any time. The soul, however, is eternal. Nahanyate hanyamane sharire. Bhagavad Gita 2:20. The soul is never vanquished, even when the body is destroyed. An intelligent man, therefore, should care for the happiness of the spirit soul, not of the body. Thus Prahlad Maharaj prays that Lord Nrisimhadev place him in touch with a pure devotee and servant instead of awarding him material opulence. Every intelligent man within this material world must follow Prahlad Maharaj. So, having all the whatever these points that he's mentioning, those are the things that are valued in this world. He's seen that they don't actually get anything. Therefore, everybody should follow in his footsteps and not be worried about these things. Right? We just perform our duties. These things come, don't come, we're not worried. As long as we can be engaged in the service of the Lord, under the direction of the devotees, then we're happy. There are different types of material opulence, known technically as bhukti, mukti, and siddhi. Bhukti refers to being situated in a very good position, like a position with the demigods in the higher planetary systems, where one can enjoy material sense gratification to the greatest extent. Mukti refers to being disgusted with material advancement and thus desiring to become one with the Supreme. Siddhi refers to the executing a severe type of meditation, like that of the yogis, to attain eight kinds of perfection, anima, lagima, mahima, etc. All who desire some material advancement through bhukti, mukti, or siddhi are punishable in due course of time, and they return to material activities. Paladmars rejected them all. He simply wanted to engage as an apprentice under the guidance of a pure devotee. Right? Because only that will give benefit. Because no matter what you do and what benefits you get, you'll always have to go back to the activity. Right? It means the karmi is performing activity. He wants a better standard of that. So he goes to the austerity, he gets that, but he has to go back to activity again. The person wants liberation, he performs the austerity, he gets that position, he has to go back to that. You have the mystic powers, at one point it runs out, you have to go back to that. Right? Because if you use it, it's burnt up. It's not that you get it and unlimitedly it goes on. You know, it's like being given a certain amount of money. You can buy how much you want with it, but when the money's over, it's done. Does that make sense? So that's the position with all these. You work, you get results, then the results are over, again you come back to work. So no matter what, you'll always come back to material endeavor. So, therefore, he rejects all that and simply wants to work under the devotees. Right? So the guidance of the pure devotee, that will get you actual benefit, because that will get you out of all this. Right? Paladmars continued, in this material world, every living entity desires some future happiness, which is exactly like a mirage in the desert. Where is water in the desert?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prema ki.